Today's January the 13th, 2008. We're going to talk about Job 14:14, and the title of our message on the back of your bulletin is Bible Waiters. Now then, in our culture, is our culture one that is skilled at waiting?
No.
What? We're not. The American culture is not good at waiting? Are you serious? My son and I had a construction load in a big truck, so we could only go about 30 miles an hour, or it was liable to fall out. And it was liable to fall out even at 30 miles an hour. And as we were putting down the road, we had somebody ride up on the pintle hitch on the back. They could have been hooked to us and not been any closer. And the comment between the two of us was, isn't that stupid to be so close to something that's massive and could possibly fall out of this truck and it wouldn't even have to bounce to be on their windshield? And just about then, on the Country Western station, came this song about this guy putting down the road in his International Harvester combine, and the people behind him beeping the horn because the combine only do 5 miles an hour, right? And Christopher said, you know, we could probably do 30, but because that guy's beeping his horn and saying we're number one back there with his index finger, I think we'll just slow down to 20. And when that guy went around us, he literally rolled down the window, so we made sure that we could see which finger. And he was all red in the face and strained and yelling at us. Why? Because he did not want to wait behind us. Right? Now, that's just one of several illustrations. So, when we look at our culture, do you think our culture is biblically focused in the area of waiting and patience? If we were going to look at a church, are we a church of patient waiters? Are we individuals that exemplify the patterns in the Bible of how people waited on God? Do we do that? Do I do that? Do you do that? Are we good waiters? Now, in the Bible, we do find people that wait on the Lord, don't we? And you'll be surprised as you look at the Bible, as you read it through this year, how many of get to wait. Now, the bottom line question down there in the rolling surf is, could we learn from the people that did wait on the Lord? Do you think we could learn something from them? It probably will be different than what our culture is teaching us, isn't it? Now, in the Bible, there are people who waited on God. Oop, I want to go back. Who are some people that waited on God? Noah! Okay, there we go, got the flow started. Who's somebody else who waited on God? Abraham waited on God. Job waited on God. Who else? Sarah did. Yeah, the girls did. Mary did. Moses did. Moses went up on top of the mountain and sat there 40 days, 40 nights. Didn't eat, didn't drink, just sit there waiting for God. Right. Patiently. God shows up and he says, get down off of this mountain and do something with them people or I'm killing them all. Now, when our Lord and Savior came to earth, did he ever wait? Sure. He went out in the desert and sat there 40 days and 40 nights, didn't eat, drink, wait for the devil. Now, I don't recommend you sitting around waiting for the devil. Most of us won't have to. You turn around fast and smack, he's right there, right? But Jesus waited, didn't he? And he told his church, I want you to wait 50 days till Pentecost comes for the Holy Spirit to come. You're going to get relief, but it's going to be, right? And then he tells all of us believers to wait for his return, doesn't he? Who else do you think of in the Bible waited? Any of the prophets? Daniel did, didn't he? Who else? Isaiah waited for the people to change, didn't he? Jeremiah? Elijah? Hosea waited for his wife to come home? There's lots of the people in the Bible who learned to wait patiently. Now, we're going to talk about three of them. One of them's Noah, one of them's Job, and one of them's Abram or Abraham when he waited long enough. These are all people that we either read about so far in the Bible, or this next week you will be reading about Abraham. So, when we take a look at Noah, how did Noah wait for God? Noah's an interesting character. He waited 500 years before he got married and started having children. Talk about waiting. Then how long does it take him to build an ark? 125 years? He gets her all built, then just waits for God to come close the door. Rains, washes. And then he sits on top of Mount Ararat until God, he keeps fiddling with stuff, sending out one bird and another. Eventually, God says, okay, Noah, you can open the door. But he waited on God to do those things, didn't he? You and I, if God calls us to do something in our personal lives, it could be waiting on your spouse. It could be waiting on your children, praying, believing that your children are going to change. Praying, believing your God is going to change your spouse into the likeness of His Son. But waiting patiently and faithfully and trustingly. Waiting for your boss to change. Some people are waiting for retirement patiently. Some of us aren't. We want to get there now. But each one of us needs to learn how to wait patiently and how to exemplify God in those things. Now, could we say that Noah was a man that worked hard and had big faith? A man who worked hard but had big faith. One of the points in Brad's book that we're all reading, and the last Sunday of this month, we're going to discuss that book, and so come prepared to do that. Julie and I have one more chapter, and we're done reading the book. But be done reading the book by the end of the month, so the last Sunday of this month, when we talk about it, you're not flipping through the book. You can highlight things, but one of the things that Brad talks about there in developing a church that's changing and transitioning is you have to be someone who works hard, but has big faith. And the tendency for many of us is to do one or the other and not do the two in balance. Does that make sense? How many of you know people who work really hard at stuff, but their faith and trust in relying on God is weak? Or other people who have great faith, they believe God's going to do it, and they just sit there and wait for it to happen. But they're not working hard. Does that make sense? We need, as a church of waiters, to be doing both. Because when you look at all these people, Noah was actively involved in a lot of projects while he was patiently trusting God in faith that he was on the right path. He was doing the right thing. He believed God, and that affected and impacted all of his life. And I reckon building an ark in a place where there wasn't any water was something that he had to trust God daily for. Right? As well as talk to God regularly about the people around him who were giving him a hard time and interceding in prayer for the people around him that they would change their lives and be willing to join him and his sons and their wives on board. But a church that works hard and has big faith but yet is patient as they do that is what we want to do. Now this is a sunrise or sunset someplace else. How did Job wait for God? We're reading Job right now as we read through the Bible. So how did he wait for God? Did he?
He had to wait for all the fault finders.
Yeah, he endured the last of the young fellas today. The young fella had a couple good things to say. You know, there were some really good concepts in what the young man was trying to explain to the older men, which is good when we have these conversations around the table. When we have these body life discussions, I expect the young people to have input. I encourage you to have input, because young people speaking to old people oftentimes can help us see things that old people have forgotten. But he waited, didn't he? He endured through all of that. He was a person who waited. The only Bible verse that I put in relationship to him is Job 14:14. If a man dies, will he live again? All the days of my hard service, I will wait for my reward to come. See, he was a guy who lived a righteous life in the midst of an unrighteous culture, just like you and I, and was waiting for the eternal reward for that. He was waiting for his eternal reward. That's something that you and I can relate to, isn't it? As we walk through life every day, working hard, trusting in big faith, as we do that, we're looking forward to someday soon our Lord and Savior returning. Someday soon being in His presence in heaven. Someday soon having that personal one-on-one conversation with Him about how we invested the days, hours, minutes of our life. We're waiting on that soon. We're waiting on that. And for some of us, at least me, I'm hoping that the righteous, Christ-dependent things I do will be more significant than the selfish, self-centered, fleshly things that I did. So that when we get together, he'd say, well, Wilmer, you did pretty good at this. Now, these things over here, let's talk about them for a minute. Those weren't so pretty good. And let's discuss those a little bit in detail. But I want the majority of what we discuss to be a reward, not a regret. Does that make sense? How about you? See, you're the people. Remember? Here's the church. Here's the steeple. Open the doors. Look at the people. It's your life that needs to be focused on that reward. On a daily basis, on a regular basis. What if this is the last day I get to live? Some of us just celebrated New Year's. Some of us just celebrated birthdays. New Year's birthdays, for me, are a time of reflection, looking back on the year gone by, years gone by in my birthday, and reflecting on that. And as I do that, I hope that this year it could be said, like of Job, Job was a man who worked hard, but he had big faith. All the way through his suffering, physically, his tormenting and his loss, he trusted God, but he continued to work hard at his thoughts. He continued in his dialogues with his friends. He was a hard-working guy, but had big faith in God. And that's the way I want to lead you and I this next year. We not only have faith, but we work hard at these things. And the reality of all that is, as Christ's life comes within us, it is Christ's life working His way out is the hard work. You trust in Him and you allow that life to work its way out of you. That's the hard work, is trusting in Him, relying on Him, allowing Him to be your life expression. Now, the last guy that we want to talk about is Abram and Abraham. Now, how did Abram wait for God? How did he do that? Who remembers? For those of you who don't remember, you'll probably read it this next week in your Bible reading. He waited for his son of promise, didn't he? God promised him he was going to have a boy. But then he wandered miles and miles and miles looking for the promised land, looking for that eternal hope that was ahead of him. He did a lot. Now, here's some of the illustration. Abraham was given a promise to become the father of many nations when he was 75 years old in Genesis 12. Now, for many of us, we're thinking by the time we get to be 75. See, I'm 57. When I flip those around and think of being 75, to get started at 75. Seems odd for our culture, doesn't it? You're supposed to be done by the time you get to be 64, 65, 75, right? Our unwaiting culture teaches us, well, you should be on cruise control, idling along, sit back with your feet up. But that's not necessarily the way God works, is it? He gets this promise, you're going to have kids when you're 75. Then in Genesis 16, you find that he doesn't wait so well. His wife comes up with a good idea, and Ishmael comes along when he's at age 86. You remember that story? We'll read that this week. His wife kind of got impatient waiting for this baby, and she says, well, listen, I got this Egyptian girl. Why don't you take her as a wife, and you two can make us a son or a child? Okay. And Ishmael comes along. Now, Ishmael has a direct impact on all of our lives today, doesn't he? The radical Islamic nation that we're at war with this day reckon their ancestry to Ishmael. They believe Ishmael, the firstborn, was the son of promise, and they believe he is supposed to conquer and take over the whole world and foster his religion rather than his little brother's religion. Do you realize how much these events in Genesis chapter 12 and 16 have an impact on our lives today? These boys are still fighting with each other. Now, God gives Abraham a covenant of circumcision at the age of 99. And at that point, he became Abraham. An adult male surrendering to circumcision at any age is a challenge. But 99 is kind of down the road. Mom's 97, 2 years from now. 99. He's given the covenant of circumcision and he circumcised everybody. And at 100 years old, Isaac is born. So, he's given the promise when he's 75, but it's 100 years old, 25 years later, when it all comes about. Now, in between there, did he just sit and wait? No, he traveled all over, didn't he? He conquered lands. He taught the best priest ever, Melchizedek, the concept of tithing. He was a busy, hard-working guy in the midst of all of that. Now, in Genesis 15:6, the Bible says, Abram put his trust in God, and because of this, God was pleased with him and accepted him. Many of us who memorize that out of another version, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned unto him as righteousness. Now, that chapter 15 is well before he actually gets all of this stuff, isn't it? It's 16, that's when he's hooking up with Hagar. God believed in Abraham. Abraham believed and trusted in God. And that's a point that we can look forward to. Could we say Abraham was a man who worked hard but had big faith? Can you see that in him? He had big faith, even though he stumbled a couple times. As we look at developing our lives within this church, we the people develop our lives, we will probably make some mistakes. We will probably stumble. We might throw an interception in the first quarter, but in the end, we'll end up winning the game, won't we? In the end, we will win. We may have some errors along the way, some misdirected things that happen as we sit around the table and talk, as we sit around the church and talk in March, there probably will be some things that we miss. But the point is, we want to be a church, we want to be individuals who work hard and have big faith. Now this is my eagle picture. Who sits out there in the swamps and with a camera that time of the morning waiting for eagles to fly by so he can take a picture of eagles? I don't know, but somebody did. And when they sent this to me in an email, it says, look at God's smile. Can you see the three eagles making the smile? God wants to smile on us. Whoever it is who sit out there in the swamps waiting for the sun to come up, waiting to take that picture, waited as well. Right? I like to think he was a moose hunter who just took his camera along and happened to catch this one. He was doing something productive out there. He wasn't just sitting in the swamp waiting for eagles to show up. But maybe he was an eagle watcher. It's, you know, it's eagle days. Bald eagle days over in the Quad Cities. Maybe he was an eagle watcher. Who knows? Anyway, that's God's smile. Good things come to people who wait on God. God will smile on us as we patiently wait for Him. But as we, in faith, move forward, working hard, trusting Him. Good things come to those who wait. I think they'll come to us. So, we can know God will do good things as we wait on Him. And our part is to work hard and to have big faith. Now, that's the end of all those slides. That's the end of the message. The point of today, not only in introducing the changes to you, but in introducing this concept to you, that you and I would be hard-working, big-faithed people. I don't want to develop a church as we go downstairs and talk about Galatians that has a lot of rules and you have to work hard at keeping all the rules. When I talk about working hard, here's what I'm talking about. Working hard at trusting God, relating to God, and allowing the Spirit of God to work through you in such a way that it has an impact on our culture. And practically, that we become people who are patient. We're moving forward, but we're not anxious at the rate at which it's going. We're not upset that it's not going the way we want. Because of our big faith, we're trusting God. Does that make any sense to any of you? Now, some of you have probably been waiting to surrender your lives to Jesus Christ. Today would be a good day to take a step forward and talk to somebody about giving your life to the good Lord Jesus. There's some things that are good to wait on. There's some things that probably you should be working at getting done. That's one of the things I'd like you to work at getting done in your lives, is to giving your life to a perfect Savior and allowing His Holy Spirit to come within. So as we talk about the Spirit working within, you've got it within you. If you haven't ever done that, today would be a good day to stop waiting and to start moving forward.